This is the 200 Churches podcast, created to provide resources and encouragement to leaders of the 94% of congregations in America under 500 members. Now, here are two gentlemen that lead in a 200 church and strive to provide information that will make you smile, think, and be challenged. Oh, and they're all around nice guys, Jeff and Johnny.
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast. My name is Jeff Cady, and I'm here with
Johnny Craig.
And we are here today to talk to a pastor who is literally running across the country. He's running from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Is his church on the West Coast and he's trying to get away from it?
I'm not sure. He's raising money for clean water for Africa, and we are going to call him right now.
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve Spear. This is Jeff Cady. We're calling from the 200 Churches podcast.
How are you, Jeff?
We're doing really good. Hey, you had quite a dust storm, I see, yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. We've had, it's like welcome to the plains of Texas.
Now, did you actually run through that?
I did. Yeah, I was, I had a 30-mile run day, and about mile 20, it had been windy all day, but it was about mile 20 where the full-out dust storm kind of evolved, and that was an experience and a half.
Well, you have gone now how many weeks?
Seven and a half.
How many weeks total are you going to have to run?
The total run is somewhere between 20 and 21 weeks. So we are now kind of officially one third complete.
Okay. Well, we just started recording, and I'm just going to edit this thing, you know, afterwards as I need to. This is a podcast, and I'm here with Johnny Craig.
Yeah. How's it going, Steve?
Good, Johnny. And you?
We're doing all right. No dust storms in Iowa, so we're doing all right.
So
good.
We started this 200churches.com for pastors of smaller churches because I hear you've been to Willow Creek?
Yeah, I pastored at Willow for 15 years.
Okay. You know that so much of the good training material, so much stuff comes from the churches and the pastors that lead in those churches that are literally in the top one half of 1%. Of all the churches in America. But we realize that, you know, the level that you have to speak to when you've got 25,000 people or even 10,000 people, it's really hard to speak to the level of a church that's got 50 or 75 or 100 or 200. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we thought we would just create a podcast just to encourage the guys and the women that are in churches and smaller communities that just honestly, they're never going to grow above 100 or 200 in a lot of these communities. In fact, you're probably running through some of these, aren't you?
My guess is I definitely would be. Yeah, it's been so cool running through. I mean, obviously, it has definitely been smaller towns in smaller areas versus larger towns and larger areas, especially here in the Western United States. So my guess is I definitely would be hitting some of those areas.
We did some research and we found that 94% of all the churches in America are under 500 people, and 60% are under 100 people.
Yeah, I think I think this podcast for you, this is awesome. What an awesome, that's, you know, huge kudos to you guys for doing this. I think it's fantastic.
So what are you doing now, Steve? I mean, you said you were at Willow for 15 years and now you're running across America, which is, you know, I don't know how that pays the bills exactly. But so what is your vocation at the time?
What's called a volunteer running ambassador for World Vision. So it's what I'm doing now is on a volunteer basis. It was one of those things where this whole journey of running is so crazy because 6 years ago I was a complete non-runner, didn't run a lick in my life, hated running, wanted nothing to do with running.
Sounds like me.
And the fact that, you know, the guy who just wants to hate running less is now the guy that's running across America is just, there's a whole backstory to it, but, you know, the long and short of it is I feel like this whole thing chose me. I didn't necessarily choose it. A couple of years ago, the thought started racing through my mind, you know, what would I do for free? Or what would I do and raise my own support for? Have certainly loved being at Willow and had a great, really great time of ministry there and could very well go back after this is done. Who knows? I really don't have any idea what's next. But I really started getting seized by this idea that I've been doing, you know, run some marathons to raise awareness and funding for clean water in Africa. But this whole concept of maybe running across the United States, I mean, completely scared me and freaked me out when the notion first dropped in my, you know, brain a couple of years ago. But it kind of evolved to the point where it was like, you know, if I really believe this is a true call that I'm supposed to do this, then I think I'm supposed to step out in faith and take a couple of years to dedicate myself to this journey of prepping for it, doing the run and doing the fundraising, and then therefore raising our own financial support to do that. So that's what I am a full-time volunteer is what I am.
Hey, Steve, tell us about your missions trip to Africa and when you first got this idea of doing anything to raise a large amount of money for clean water. And tell us which community and what area you're actually raising this money for.
Yeah, the area of Kenya is in the western part of Kenya. And the specific name of the area is Bartabwa, Kenya. It includes that area and some of the surrounding areas around Bartabwa. And the first part of your question, it was like 6 years ago when I first sort of get hit in the face. Quite honestly, I didn't even realize 6 or 7 years ago the dramatic number of people in the world. At that point, it was almost a billion people who didn't have access to clean water. And that first kind of, I encountered that thought, and then over the next couple of years, I just became more aware of what that looked like in the face of millions of people, mainly women and girls, who do the majority of carrying of water miles and miles every day. And over the course of between like 2007 and 2010, I just became more aware of it. And at the same time I was becoming more aware of it, I had got talked into running my first marathon, and then one turned into two, and then I was invited to run a 56.
Were those first marathons connected at all to fundraising?
They were, yeah. The first marathon I ran was the Chicago Marathon in 2007 with Team World Vision. Team World Vision is an arm of World Vision that formed in 2006. That's what is inaugural year. And Team World Vision encourages people to run full or half marathons to raise money and awareness for clean water. So when I ran that first marathon in 2007 with Team World Vision, I did it fully knowing that I was doing it for clean water. I really didn't want to run the marathon. A buddy of mine arm twisted me for 4 months to run it, and I continued to tell him no, how much I hated running, and I finally felt. Literally, it was in April of 2007, right around the time that I would need to make the decision to start the training. I really did feel as if God said to me, kind of in the quietness of our home, I was living outside of Chicago, and it was like God was almost saying to me, you know, not audibly, but he's like, hey, Steve, all the time you're inviting people to step out of their comfort zone, to take a step into the unknown, to trust in the midst of fear. But for some reason, you're all fearful about this whole idea of training for and running a marathon. I think you need to open your hands to it. And it was with that thought that I felt like this is kind of a spiritual thing for me. I'm supposed to take a step of trust here that I don't quite understand. And the cause I believed in, I was growing to know more about. So the combination of that, I guess you'd call it a little bit of a call, and the cause kind of came together. And that thing, that call and that cause sort of only intensified over the next few years. And it was in 2010, the fall of 2010, when the actual idea to run across America sort of dropped into my life.
So you figured out that as a pastor, maybe you would have to practice what you've been preaching and teaching to other people in terms of, you know, acting in faith, and then showing trust, displaying trust toward God, and actually demonstrating that trust through what you're going to do.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, there's been other things, you know, in my life that I'd kind of modeled before the congregation where I'd taken steps in and, you know, where I maybe stepped into the unknown. But this one was, I think because I just hated running so much and I just wanted nothing to do with it, I almost was like, God, are you serious? Really? Like, you want me to run a marathon? Like, I don't get it. And it seems kind of almost silly, but yet I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And what was really interesting is the following year, after I ran it in 2007, I stood up in front of the congregation in like March or April of 2008, and I said, "Hey, folks," because I pastored one of our regional congregations at Willow, and I said, "You know, last year I ran the marathon. You know, I didn't croak, and you know, maybe some of you would like to do that this year and run the Chicago Marathon and raise awareness and money for clean water." And if you'd like to do that, I'd invite you to come up after the service, and we're going to do a little info session. We had, and it shocked us, I mean, we had, I think, 75 people between our two services. We had maybe 600 adults, 500 or 600 adults in the two services that day. And, like, 75 people came up front to get interest of running the marathon, and we had 50 people that actually trained for and completed the marathon that year and raised about $65,000 for clean water. And it was just like, it was the coolest thing to see those people train for and do it together and kind of go through the good days and the bad days of 18 weeks of training. It was one of the most rich, I told the church and told pastors since then, one of the most rich small group serving experiences I've ever been a part of in my life. And we did them for the next several years at our campus. And I've encouraged really, literally hundreds of pastors to really, literally run a marathon, invite some people from your congregation to run it with you. And the way that it brings out deeper levels of community literally blew my mind.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I think Jeff should be running a marathon here pretty soon. That sounds Steve, like something would be up his alley.
Steve, part of the deal is that I need to hire you, and you need to be my volunteer pitchfork in my rear end to get me to get out there. I did a lot of running between 30 and 40, and then I moved here to Northwest Iowa 10 years ago, and you and I are just about a few months apart probably, and I have really not hit my stride since I've been here.
We literally, I'm serious, I know this is going to sound totally nuts and totally absurd, but like we should pick a marathon, you know, pick one that would happen maybe in the, you know, the spring of 2014 or...
Steve, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, Steve. You're breaking up.
You are not breaking up.
I can hear you fine. But we should pick one, you know. I talked to a guy. I ran through Amarillo yesterday. One of the newspapers in Amarillo came out and did a story, and I think I convinced. I tried to convince the guy to run the Tulsa Route 66 marathon in November and to recruit four or five people from the newspaper to come out and do that for World Vision. And I don't know if he'll do it or not, but I asked him to Facebook, you know, friend me on Facebook, and I'd give him more info about how we could do that. But that you should do it, Jeff. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome to see. So. As you run, as you go across America,
Steve's saying he's being noncommittal. He's being noncommittal.
Jeff will never commit to a marathon.
No, Steve, I'm going to think about this because I mean I'm not going to go much past 60 or 65 if I don't change my wicked ways.
Mm. Oh goodness, going morbid on the podcast.
Well, I don't know. I know I call them wicked ways, but I do know. That one of the it's one thing when I hear people I've got a good friend who wanted to lose some weight, and he was doing a couch to 5K running program, and I said his name is Chad, and I said, Chad, that's awesome that you're doing a couch to 5K, but I said I think you need to run the Chicago Marathon here in 2013. I think you need to do it this year. I said, you know, you run the 5K, running the 5Ks are great. And they will get you to a certain point. But I said, you sign up, literally you put down $150 to run the Chicago Marathon, and maybe get a couple other people that'll do it with you, and it will change your life. It will change your life physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I said, go for it. And so he and his wife actually signed up to run Chicago this year, and they recruited, they've now recruited 35 people from their church, smaller church, in O'Fallon, Missouri. They have 35 people running the Chicago Marathon this year, this October.
That's awesome. So as you run, have you Have you made any effort to, like, connect with churches along the way to kind of share the message of World Vision, right? Mm-hmm. Share your plans for the water. Is that something that you've done at all? I read a book by Craig Gross. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. He's the guy who started Triple X Church. And they went on a 40-day fast. And on this 40-day fast, they drove across America. They're not as hardcore as you. But they drove across America, and they made all these speaking arrangements, you know, at basically any church that they could. Just to talk about their kind of their mission and their vision. And so I was wondering if you've made any stops like that to local congregations.
I spoke at the launch in L.A. I spoke at a church in L.A. and I've spoken at a church in Gallup, New Mexico on a Sunday. And then this Sunday I speak at a church that would probably fit the profile of the podcast. I'm speaking at a church in Altus, Oklahoma, this coming Sunday, and then I'm hitting churches in Joplin, Missouri, this church in O'Fallon, Missouri that I was mentioning before. I will speak at Willow when I go through in July, and then we're lining up a couple more on the East Coast. So that's been a big part of this, is to not only talk about the vision of clean water, but this whole thing was definitely birthed out of a spiritual movement in my own life. And I've wanted to, you know, use scripture to help, you know, best illustrate that. So we've, you know, crafted a couple of different messages that we felt have worked pretty well, both to help people take steps out of fear and into faith, you know, whatever that might be, personally or relationally or something at work or what have you, as well as then weave in the story of the run and the vision for clean water. And so it's been a cool, as a matter of fact, in Gallup, when I spoke at the church in Gallup, again, smaller congregation, extremely generous, extremely encouraging. And that next week, I had several people from the church in Gallup run with me along the run route, which was pretty cool. That's what we envisioned that to be a part of this deal, and it's kind of proving to be that way. We're happy about that.
That is very cool. Hey, listen, you've got something about 30,000 people that you're trying to get water for life for, and I saw your goal was $1.5 million, and I just saw when you, I think it was last Saturday's YouTube that you put up, you were standing next to that sign and you were talking about $150 to $2,000, $5,000, and you stopped at $5,000. I'm thinking, no, $50,000, $100,000 gifts, because man, to hit 1.5 million, you need a lot. So tell our listeners what your goals are and what you're going to do in that community.
Yeah, well, definitely our goal is to raise a full 1.5. And to your point, yeah, thanks for the coaching on that, because we do need. I mean, we need a couple of gifts to come in the $50,000 range, the $100,000 range. We know we need a handful of those, and then lots of others. Beyond that, so, you know, the hope and the prayer with this whole thing is, right now, this past week, we topped, in addition to any kind of fundraising that I did to make sure that we had expenses covered and both my living expenses, our family, and expenses for the run, you know, we just topped 100,000, in the actual water, kind of the water goal. Mm-hmm. And, so we just still a long ways to go to that 1.5, but we really do believe we can continue, you know, spreading the message of this and making the ask, so that this entire, you know, community of people and the generation that follow them won't have to be like one of our sponsored children through World Vision. Her name is Winnie, and Winnie's 7 years old. I visited her this past August. I walked with her and her mom a three and a half, a 4 mile round trip that they do a couple of times a day. And when I walked with little Winnie, with a 5-gallon, 50-pound container of contaminated water that we just pulled out of a river where the whole village bathes in, feeds in, waters their livestock in, washes their clothes in. I'm thinking, this is completely nuts, you know. One of my lines that goes through my head a lot while I'm running is, if I can run a few miles to take away some miles from Winnie and thousands of girls and, you know, individuals like her, then this is a success.
Just the idea of carrying, you know, 50 pounds. Just recently, our we had some flooding here, and my son and I carried 14 gallons of water at a time out of our basement, and that was excruciatingly backbreaking. And when I saw those pictures, you know, I'm just thinking about these girls and these women that are carrying all this water. So,
yeah, it's crazy. And the water that they're carrying is disease-borne, of course, leads to, you know, the biggest issue of contaminated water is diarrhea. And it's just the water they're carrying is they're actually carrying death in a jar is what they're carrying.
Yeah.
I continue to tell people when I come back, it isn't as if there's clean water sources further distances away that they can go and walk for. It just isn't there.
It's not available.
And World Vision does such, you know, they do, there's so many great organizations that do fantastic water work, and World Vision, they've been doing it for 3 decades now. They have the largest privately funded water project on the continent of Africa, and they really know how to go into an area and not just, they can use a whole array of water systems, whether they be borehole wells or pipeline systems or water reservoirs or rock catchment systems, but they can use a bunch of different things to bring water to a whole area, not just one solution. And that's one of the things that I was so encouraged as I've gotten to know their work, and I've been familiar with World Vision, of course, for years and years, but now that I've begun to understand more of the comprehensiveness of their approach when they come in to bring water, not just a few hundred, but to thousands upon thousands, and then to see that and to meet with some of the local Kenyan graduate-level water engineers that work for World Vision that study the topography and the geology of the area, man, it was just encouraging and motivating. And, you know, I'm going, all right, if I can help raise some awareness and some funding and run a few miles, that's my part. There's a friend of mine, when we were trying to consider the name of this run when it started evolving about a year ago, and we were thinking about different names, and one of the names that a little marketing group had come up with, is they said you should call this the $1 million run, because you want to raise $1 million. It's kind of catchy. And we're kind of going, oh, maybe, I don't know if I liked it so much, but we're kind of going, maybe we should, and it's $1 million run. And I went to a very wise spiritual mentor in my life, a lady that I've looked up to for years and years. I asked her opinion about the $1 million run, the name of that. And she said, no, she said, I don't like that name at all. She said, you need to do this run, whatever you call it, but don't call it that. She said, you let God write the check on whatever this run is going to be. He will bless it. This is his run, but you let him write the check, whether it's for 500,000, a million, or if it's for 5 million, you just trust him and he will direct you where you need to go, who you need to talk to. So I've been living on that advice as well.
I like that. I think that's really good. And, you know, when you call it a $1 million run, it's really focusing on money. And that's really not what you're focusing on. Money is the means, but you're focusing on bettering a community and just helping a whole group of people out. Hey, when we when we post this, we're going to put up links to where people can support you, find out more about what's going on, follow your run through your YouTube videos, you know, we'll take care of that and hope that you know your half hour here with us is will benefit you in the long run. No pun intended. What do you have to say to pastors of small churches? And I was thinking that, you know, here you're one guy running across the country to raise $1.5 million. It's kind of an illustration of how one person can accomplish something great, even though, you know, you don't have 80 people running with you.
Well, I tell you, I think, you know, the word of encouragement would be, there's been a lot of different things I think God has been impressing on me as I've been running. And, you know, more than anything, I think what I've been reminded of is, as I've been out there day in and day out, is that, you know, what God really desires from us, what he desires from me, is just my faithfulness. The one line that I've used with quite a few people and in the churches is, it's always stuck with me when Mother Teresa years ago, and again, for lots of the pastors that are listening to this, if this is probably not a new line, they probably are aware of it, but it's really served me a lot. But when Mother Teresa was asked years ago, way before she died, in her ministry in Calcutta, a news reporter sat with her amidst the great need, and you know, the reporter asked her, Mother Teresa, you know, in the midst of this overwhelming need here in Calcutta with the leper community, how in the world do you ever expect to be successful? And Mother Teresa paused and then just, you know, looked back at the reporter and she said, God has never called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. That has just stuck with me 20 years, but really only in the last 7 or 8 weeks of this run has that become more profound to me, where it's like, all right, God, you know, there's a vision that's in front of me of what I'm to be pursuing here. And yes, there's some things that I can do to help point people to this cause, but you just called me to be faithful, faithful to run and faithful to tell the story. And this is yours. And I just need to trust you way beyond my weakness, because my level of weakness in this whole thing is so profound. I just am well aware of it. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to trust you. And literally the phrase is, as I run, he provides. As I run, he provides. And it's like, all right, you know, pastor friends, as you lead and as you teach and as you work through good days and as you work through bad days, because there will be the days that bad four-letter words form in the back of our minds because things aren't just going the way we want to. And it's in those days we just continue relentless forward motion. God blesses that. I know he does. And so that'd be my, you know, my encouragement, I suppose.
Very cool.
We appreciate you being on the podcast, Steve, and we hope that we could help you spread the message, and we're going to do everything we can to help promote the rest of your run, and hopefully you do get to that $1.5 million.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the positive thought. And
thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, blessings to you guys, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. If you would like to support Steve and what he's doing, raising money for World Vision, raising money for 30,000 people to have clean water for the rest of their lives, follow the links on our blog today and make a donation, big or small, preferably big, but big or small, everything helps. So thanks for listening to the 200 Churches Podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. Feel free to give the guys feedback or ask questions at 200churches.com. And remember, the leadership that you provide in your 200 church matters big in the kingdom of God.